粤语白白广播客节目，白国荣、白文杰同你论尽粤语语言及流行文化，齐齐白白讲。
This is Chatty Cantonese, where we chat about all things related to learning and teaching Cantonese, with a little bit of pop culture thrown in.
大家随时可以到我哋嘅网站 chattycantonese.com 揾到所有对话嘅文本同埋英文翻译。
As always, you can find transcriptions of our conversations on our website, chattycantonese.com, as well as English translations.
感谢大家的支持，我们的节目已经被下载超过5000次了。希望大家继续努力学好粤语，分享我们的节目内容，同向我们提供你们的宝贵意见啦。多谢。
A huge thanks to everyone for your support.Chatty Cantonese has already reached 5,000 downloads. We hope everyone continues to work hard at studying Cantonese. Don't forget to share our episodes, and as always, we look forward to your feedback and suggestions. Thanks!
本集节目是我们和 Brittany Chan 对话的第一部分。Brittany 是一位 YouTube 频道和网志创作人，内容对象为海外学习粤语的华人。我们讨论她最初制作影片的灵感，同埋一路支持佢创作嘅群体，大家都要记得下个礼拜翻嚟听埋第二部分啦。
This episode features the first part of our conversation with Brittany Chan, a YouTuber and blogger who creates content about overseas Chinese communities and studying Cantonese. We discuss what first inspired her to begin making videos, as well as the community that has supported her along the way. Be sure to check back next week for part two.
好啊，大家好啊，我哋今日呢即係特我就特别兴奋，咁我哋又有一个非常之即係喺广东话嘅而家呢喺网上教学呢好有影响力嘅一个嘉宾，今日会同我哋做分享。我哋欢迎啊 Brittany。
Hello, 大家好。
嗱咁呢嗱通常我哋开始呢我哋就会直接咧请嘉宾咧，即系自己介绍自己多啲嘅。咁啊，我不如等阿 Brittany， 咁啊，你用翻广东话去同我哋分享一下你嘅背景，介绍下自己好唔好啊？
好啊，好啊 ，OK。咁 Hello， 大家好，我系 Brittany， 我系一个 CBC， 即系喺加拿大出世嘅华裔。咁我系一个住喺 California 嘅 YouTuber。通过我的 channel， 我就希望可以推广广东话啦，同埋启发其他竹星啊，好似我咁嘅 CBC 去讲多啲广东话。
系啊，我哋特别开心啦，即系Brittany 同我哋一齐啦。我谂好多嘅听众同观众都有睇过你喺 YouTube 上面同大家做嘅分享嘅。好咁事不宜迟啦，咁我哋其实都有啲问题想问下你嘅。咁不如Cameron， 你可唔可以开始睇下你有咩问题呢？
The first one is one that I think a lot of people are wondering about, because again, lots of people have watched your videos, you've heard lots of people actually mention them to us. How did you get started with that as an idea, thinking of YouTube as a platform to promote Cantonese?
咁係啦，頭先都講我哋而家好多人呢喺 YouTube 上面睇到你嘅分享嘅影片啦。咁我哋第一個問題就係問你呢個嘅想法或者呢一個嘅做法呢，你係點樣開始諗到嘅？
So this actually started as a fun little passion project for myself, to help my husband Jared learn Cantonese. Well, he was my boyfriend at the time, but yeah, he wanted to learn Cantonese andHe's actually a language nerd himself, and he was a German translator at the United Nations and studied German. But online, he kind of found there was kind of a lack of intermediate level or, I guess, Cantonese content for English speakers. So that's kind of how it all started, and then it kind of developed. I started learning from my own videos, and, you know, I realized there was also a lack of intermediate level content for heritage speakers. I didn't find any content for Juxing by Juxing, you know, so why not me? I figured, you know, not that it can't be too hard. It is difficult to a certain extent, but I think you just got to get started. So I took that opportunity. I had some help behind the scenes from Jared, who has language learning background, as well as my dad, who is from Hong Kong.
Oh, that's awesome. To get back to what you were saying earlier about noticing that gap in content for both intermediate learners who are English speakers as well as heritage learners, are there specific skills or topics that you see are the most necessary or the most needed by those learners?
咁我哋見到而家市面上面嘅教材，你頭先都提到啦，即係對於初學者嘅內容比較多啦。但係咧，如果對於即係家庭有呢、這個粵語作為成傳承語言做背景嘅學習者咧，咁即係好似缺乏咗某啲方面嘅內容。你有冇留意到譬如邊即係特別需要提供邊啲題材啊，或者邊一方面嘅內容俾呢方即係呢種嘅學生呢？
In terms of topics and skills, nothing too specific. There's definitely, you know, topics that people ask of me a lot, but I think it's more just the overall atmosphere of learning that I try to convey through my videos, through the, you know, the topics that I cover. As you mentioned earlier, making mistakes is a big part of making mistakes is a huge part of language learning. And I think a lot of heritage speakers have a bit of this, I don't know what to call it, but maybe language trauma, where we're told that we don't speak good enough and this and that, and it causes us to not want to speak at all. So what I'm trying to do is to get past that and hopefully make it a stress-free learning environment for heritage learners where, you know, we talk about things that we're familiar with, but in a kind of a light environment, nothing too serious. I just want to make it fun.
And then you also mentioned earlier your dad has been helpful. What has sort of family support been like for your own experience with Cantonese, especially now maybe doing it in such a public way?
嗱，我哋亦都有留意到你嘅家庭上面对你嘅支持，你嘅爸爸啦都好支持你咁样去做，去分享呢个粤语嘅学习啦。你可唔可以讲下，即系家庭对你嗰个支持，去喺你嘅制作上面有啲咩影响
？So yeah, I mean, my parents and my family support is very important to this endeavor. I mean, there's a few factors that motivates me through family in doing this. And one is that, you know, that they actually help me. But the other is that I wouldn't say inadvertently because it's pretty direct, but I've become closer with my family because of it. And as a result, their support has empowered me to learn to improve my own Cantonese, and in turn it has helped me become closer with them. So their support has been very instrumental in the creation of the channel and the improvement of my own Cantonese, as well as, you know, I would say even encouraging Jared to learn, because every time I've gone home, Jared's Cantonese has improved incrementally, whether it's through his own efforts or through our combined efforts or the efforts that he's made through helping me with my channel. And it's really shown in our relationships.
In terms of feedback, because I know you have a lot of loyal fans and followers, many of whom comment on the show, but also I've also seen people share on Twitter. What is the fan engagement been like, and how has that shaped the content that you create?
你嘅分享咧，即系都有好多嘅回响啦，咁啊，甚至而家都有你嘅一啲我哋叫粉丝啊，咁啊，即系啲人都会好留意你嘅分享。你可唔可以讲下佢哋俾你嘅一啲嘅回应啊，或者佢哋嘅反应系点样
？I've gotten a lot of very good reactions for my channel, and I was actually really surprised at the beginning because I'm sure you can imagine when you start putting your face on the internet. The first thing is a little bit of fear. You're like, oh, what are people going to say about me? What are they going to think that I'm like doing or saying? And the reaction has been, I would say, positive across the board. And I've been very lucky for that and very appreciative. But I've also gotten a lot of support from fellow heritage speakers who are also trying to recover their long-lost childhood Cantonese. And that has, I think that is probably one of the biggest motivators for me in terms of continuing my channel and continuing to put out the content that I do, because I know how that feels. I have friends who are also in their shoes and want to reconnect not only with like a part of their identity, but like just with family, you know? And on top of that, you know, just I think discovering more people like myself, that's been really rewarding. I grew up in a, I would say, predominantly white area in Toronto, and I don't know as many people like myself when I was younger. And growing up, I met more heritage speakers or CBCs, ABCs, but through Cantonese with Brittany, through engaging with my followers, my subscribers, I really like now know that I'm not alone, and it's really great.
Yeah, and also I noticed one of your most popular videos is also one where you share your favorite other Cantonese language creators, which I thought was really cool. It almost sort of creates this ecosystem on YouTube that people can look at, and I just thought that was really inspiring and cool. I'm wondering if what it's also been like interacting with those other creators and learning from them, has that had any effect in sort of how you've even thought about sharing and creating content about Cantonese?
其中有一集啦，即係你都亦都有同其他喺網上面同你做緊類似一啲分享嘅一啲，我哋而家都叫做網紅嘅人士啦。咁你同佢哋去做交流啊，去做互動咧，對你嚟講又有啲乜嘢嘅係啦，又有啲咩影響咧
？Definitely, just connecting with other creators has really impacted, I would say, for one, like the business aspect of being behind a channel and, you know, all that. But on top of that, just being able to connect on that creator level, you know, understanding each other in terms of what works, what doesn't, what captures people, what doesn't really work, topics that, you know, they're audience enjoys that I could probably also touch on. I've done a lot of collaborative work with Jade from Inspirlang, and she's been a great source of friendship as well as, I would say, like colleagueship. I don't know. But, you know, she's been, you know, a good friend to me since we've met. I actually met her way before I started my channel. Jared had taken lessons from her, and I was like, hello. And then later on, we connected through Cantonese with Brittany, and I was like, I actually know you. She's like, what? So it's a very small world, and I think it's a very beautiful thing that I can connect with people from all around the world, you know, to talk about the thing that we love, which is the Cantonese language.
Yeah, no, that is a really nice way to put it. I'm also curious about sort of growing up, did you consume a lot of Cantonese media, whether it be music or television shows, or were there things around you that had a big influence on what Cantonese looked or sounded like?
咁你成長嘅過程中咧，係咪都有接觸到好多咧，即係呢啲流行嘅媒體，譬如電影啊、電視啊、音樂咁樣，佢哋又有冇去幫到你咧？
So when I was little, I listened to, well, where I lived in Toronto, there was a lot of commuting. I mean, we'd be driving for hours a day, going from school to tennis practice, to skating practice, back home and back to skating practice. It was a lot of commuting. And during those times, my mom would always put on the local Cantonese radio. So I spent a lot of time listening to that. And actually, one of my bugal was a GTN on the radio show. So it was like an added, you know, excitement to listen to that and also to listen to my cousin talk. I listened to the radio quite a bit. In terms of like visual content, not so much. Once in a while, when I would spend time with my pawpaw, we would watch Zanting once in a while. But I don't really remember too much like TVB, or maybe like we'd also watch the Hengongsiude whenever it was on. But yeah, I didn't watch too much of that. When I was really little, I would say like 5 years old, I would watch the Dolai Emong or like Ding Dong with my brother. And we would have those like old VHS tapes and we would watch those on repeat, on repeat, on repeat. And sometimes we'd repeat what they were saying and we didn't even know what they were saying. But I think that was probably the most Cantonese content I consumed in terms of visual content.
One question that we like to ask all of our guests is, when engaging with people who might not know about Cantonese as much, or just the general public, what are some of the myths or misconceptions that you feel like you have to dispel?
我哋都好鍾意同我哋嘅嘉宾去即係讨论呢即係关于好多嘅公众人士或者一般人呢即係对粤语甚至对自己嘅母语都有啲误解嘅。你自己有冇留意到一啲？
So I have noticed a few myths. I believe one of your guests, Pearl, had mentioned that Cantonese, or she didn't mention it, that one of the myths are Cantonese is not useful. That's definitely a complete myth. Cantonese is incredibly useful to me, not only in a, economic sense, but also a personal sense. But it has actually been beneficial to me for one of my jobs. When I used to work in New York City, I worked in the garment industry, and all the ladies I worked with in production spoke Cantonese. And that was an invaluable tool to have when I was working with them, just interacting with them on a day-to-day basis. They treated me like one of their daughters. They were, I mentioned this in the first video I showed my face, they were offering their sons to me. And they're like, I have a son who's about your age. Would you like to meet him? How about you come over for Chinese New Year? It was as if I were back home. So it was incredibly invaluable to be able to speak Cantonese in that situation. I felt like I was at home. Another myth that I believe, is a myth. It was just on the tip of my tongue. It's not really a myth. I just don't want people to feel like, I lost that train of thought. Sorry.
No worries. You've had all these experiences in Cantonese speaking environments, whether it be in Canada or in the US, both in New York and in California. Have you noticed any variations in how people speak Cantonese or the ways that they use the language in their daily life?
咁你過去喺加拿大有生活過啦，而家喺加州啦，咁你都喺唔同嘅地方有使用過粵語廣東話咁樣。你有冇留意到一啲地方性或者地區性嗰個差異啊？
So I don't know if I would say there's a much of a difference between how people speak in Toronto versus say San Jose or anything, but I definitely noticed there's a difference between like my parents' Cantonese, my generation, like the heritage speakers' Cantonese, as well as, you know, someone who's from Hong Kong. That's definitely like super simplistic. There's way more different kinds of Cantonese speakers in Asia, of course. But one of the funny little anecdotes I have about this is up until recently, because I was raised by Hong Kong immigrants of the 70s, I didn't know the word for Russia was no longer the USSR. So I had been going through my life calling Russian people Solingan. And until one time I went to a ping pong club in New York City, and my coach was from Guangdong. And I was like, the Russian coach just came in. But I said the Solun Gaolin, right? And he was like, Wolosia. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever, you know? And then I looked it up later on my dictionary on Pleco, and I was like, I've been calling Russians like Solun my whole life. So that was kind of a funny little, I mean, I learned a vocabulary word from immigrants who, I guess, they just never registered it. And that was kind of a little funny realization to me.
Oh, that is funny.
I did actually remember my second myth.
Go ahead.
The second myth that I was thinking about was that there's some sort of perfect language. And this isn't specifically to Cantonese. I don't know if this is culturally specific or to any other culture, but I think there's this idea behind the language that we need to be able to speak it to a certain level and then we can speak it. But I think speak it the way you speak it. And I think through Cantonese with Brittany, through engaging with my audience, I've actually learned that there's many ways to speak a language. There are many ways to express yourself. And the fact that we're even speaking our language, I think it's a very beautiful thing. And I'm excited to celebrate that, you know, we're speaking together.
欢迎大家留言和发问，记得点赞、订阅，并同身边对粤语有兴趣的朋友分享本节目。
As always, we welcome your questions and suggestions. Also, don't forget to like and subscribe. And please share with any friends who are interested in Cantonese.